I'd like to read beginning verse number 7. I'll go down to about verse 15. Chapter number 3, verse number 7. Says, what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself too apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you that we have the privilege tonight to open this wonderful book. Father, I pray that you might speak to our hearts. And though we speak within the confines of these walls tonight, may our lives, our attitudes, our testimony go far beyond the reaches of these four walls into a community that needs Christ. Lord, I pray you will do a work in our hearts. Give us understanding of the great work that you did upon the cross of Calvary, and what you wish to do in our lives as a result. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. I want to speak to you tonight on post-traumatic stress management. Many soldiers came home from World War I and World War II to return to their careers and to build their families. Most rarely ever talked about their war experiences. On one occasion, I remember three of my uncles who had fought in World War II being together, not knowing that anybody was listening, talk about a few things that they did during the war. I remember as I heard some of those remarks, I wish that I heard more, the experiences that they had dealt with, the horrendous and horrible situations that they had found themselves in. But for the most part, they came back and they built their lives. Modern psychiatry says that that was a mistake. And they tried to correct that, especially with the Vietnam veterans. This time they labeled their condition as a disorder, as if there was something wrong with these who came back. Men who came back to being spit upon, harassed for facing death, and having even held their dead buddies in their arms in their last moments. They were labeled basically as a freak with a mental disorder. And thus they began to seek to fix that with counseling that met with hours of reliving their hellish nightmares along with mind-altering drugs. I'm going to tell you two things tonight that you may not like to hear, but I believe them to be true. Number one, mental illness is, I believe, a made-up term, for there's no known illness of the mind. It is simply people with so-called normal circumstances diagnosing others who have reacted in a different fashion to abnormal circumstances and perhaps what they expected. And thus we have, on many occasions, people being locked away in places for actually no good reason. You need to also understand that any mind-altering drug is simply a mechanism that shuts down a portion of the thinking process. All you have to do is watch some of our young folks who come in here that are on Ritalin to notice the blank stares. It becomes very obvious. Many will say that we are not experts. They will look at the pastors especially and say, well, you don't have credentials to deal with people and to deal with the soul of an individual. I beg your pardon. Are we not in the soul business? Let's understand something tonight. The Bible is the textbook for the soul. And preachers and the people who have the Word of God become practitioners. I will say this. Not all, but many psychiatrists and others have invaded my territory, and I object. I object heartily. The text at hand, I believe, gives us a very good overlay of the remedy that God has for anyone who has a past that haunts them. Whether it's a giant one-time event that took place on the battlefield or a series of events over perhaps even a long period of time. I believe in this room that we have some combat veterans, but we also have people who are veterans of some traumatic experiences. Things that have happened in your life that, in some regards, they were life-changing. And I have just three or four things. I'd like to look at these verses and hopefully help you with this. And for you who are saved and you know folks who are dealing with some things and perhaps using them as excuses for their current actions, you can be of help too. Number one, you can't change the past. You can't change the past. It is something that has happened. It is something that has taken place. No matter what you do, as some men who have been on the battlefield and wake up in the middle of the night screaming with flashbacks, you can't change that. It's going to take place. For me, I almost daily see pictures in my mind of my son laying in a bed. It's there. It will never, ever go away. It's just a fact. It is something that took place. I can't change it. If I could, I would. Any man who's been to the battlefield, if he could, he would. You who have lost your parents and lost your brothers and sisters and sons or daughters, perhaps even some close friends that's torn you apart. You can't change that. Those of you who have gone through some experiences in life, perhaps not losing somebody, but some other event that takes place, you can't change that. Whatever has happened cannot be changed. And it does make you who you are. But we must remember something about everything that happens in our life, and that is, adversity always strengthens us. A weightlifter knows the way to gain strength is to do repetitive acts, putting on more and more work. Adversity, if you please, and it brings strength. Things that take place in our lives, I believe God has a purpose of allowing that to make us stronger. Sometimes people say, well, why did God allow that? Why did God allow some horrible thing to take place? First of all, it's not my place to question God. It's not my place. I think of Job. As I read that 42 chapters of that book, there was one thing that comes very clear. God never apologizes to Job for what he allowed to take place in his life. As he lost in one day all of his children, all of his belongings, everything he knew, and left with three friends who could do nothing more than say, Job, you're backslidden. You're out of the will of God, and it's God's judgment upon your life. But remember something. Job came through it stronger. And God worked in his life. You can never forget what has taken place. You can't forget it by talking about it over and over and over again, as often is the case. And by the way, brethren, we don't have to talk about things to people. If somebody wants to, fine. If they don't, that's fine. Matter of fact, we're not going to cover it up with drugs. Oh, did you know this? The military has a very high rate of suicide. Every individual in the military that has committed suicide has been on mind-altering drugs. Did you know that every mass shooter in our schools and malls have also been on mind-altering drugs? Interesting if we stop and think about it. We can't change the past. We can't do that. And no matter what has taken place in your life, you cannot change what is already there. I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul said in verse number 13. And please don't misunderstand this. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. He can't forget them in the sense to put them out of his mind. But what he is saying is this. My past does not rule the present. You can't change the past, but neither does it need to rule the present. If the past contains sin, it must be dealt with. If you don't, it will haunt you. In the book of Psalm, chapter 51, verse 3 says, I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. It will be there. But once we deal with it and take it to God and ask for His forgiveness, we have 1 John 1:9, where He says, if we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. By the way, you accept His forgiveness by faith, not feelings. For you can ask God to forgive you and still have some feelings of guilt and still have some feelings of regret and so forth. I believe it's the devil's ploy. We just need to remember what God said. God said that He would forgive us. Do we believe what He said? If we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. So we just need to believe God. Now, if it's not sin in our past, we need to accept and follow the instructions of verse 13. The idea of forgetting, I believe, is very obvious from the context as it is a shift from the past to the future. He is saying there, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into the things which are before. God wants us to understand something. We have something to live for, amen? Jesus said to him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." We don't need to look back. Is it there? Yes. Can we forget it? No. Is it a part of us? Yes. But we have to look forward. We do not use it as an anchor to hold us down, to keep us from going onward. Hebrews 6:1 says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." That word perfection is really talking about maturity. And we need to go forward. And that is God's idea for us. We find it throughout Scripture. When God forgives us, I don't believe He expects us to keep wallowing in its guilt. Also, when we've had a terrible experience, we never forget it, but we must look ahead and not wallow in it. When I was 16 years old, I had two car wrecks. They were both my fault. The first one, a car on slick, wet streets begins to make a left-hand turn, pulls back very quickly, puts on the brakes, and I hit my brakes and slide into them. More experience, I would have handled it differently, but it was a rear end, it was my fault. A few months later, being a total goofy, smart aleck kid, driving, I'll tell you where, in Fairmont Park, taking the corners, thinking I was some kind of race car driver in my uncle's Grand Fury. I met a car on a curve and hit my brakes and slid right into front of him head on. Does that mean I can't hold a job 10 years later? Does that mean that 10 years later I'm so upset about that I have to drink beer and I have to take drugs because I'm dealing with this horrible accident that took place in my life? You say that's ridiculous. The principle's the same. And oftentimes what takes place in lives is we've had traumatic events and we do not understand. God allows things in our lives, yes. We don't understand it. No, we don't. We will never forget it. It will never be over as far as the fact that it took place. But it did take place, but we go onward. We do not use it as an excuse. We've got this victim mentality in our country that is simply amazing. And we need to get over it. It's time to take responsibility, accountability for ourselves. I hear our politicians say, "Well, I take responsibility for what I have done." And while they're saying it, blame somebody else. Where they've learned that? Well, just like the rest of our country has. And we need to understand something tonight. We have things in our past. Here's the term we ought to look at. Instead of blaming it, so what? So what? It transpired, it took place, and it is horrible or whatever the situation, but we must go forward. We must go forward. And by the way, in Christ, we can go forward. You see, the Lord doesn't want us looking back and crying over spilled milk. God has some things for us. Forgetting those things which are behind. Reaching forth unto the things which are before. Do we understand that today's actions are today's decisions, not yesterday's? What we do today is a decision we've made for right now. And it's a decision we make looking forward into the future. It's a decision based upon what I want. Do we want to cry over the hard things that have taken place, or do we want to make life better? It's a decision we make. And we have the ability to make that decision. But when folks say, well, we need to just cry for a little bit longer. No. We need to refocus our attention. I don't look back at the trauma, though I will never forget it, whatever it is. Maybe even have flashbacks. But realize something, I am on the other side of that, and my decision today will give me what I want in the future. It is so important for us to realize and understand that. I press, he says, toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you understand the Apostle Paul, as he comes into knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, that he had put in prison scores of God's people? Do you realize it was Apostle Paul who led the charge with the first, and it was he who was there, they were laying their coats down as they took them off, that they might pick up the stones and throw them and put him into heaven. He was the one that was responsible for that. Does he sit around and does he look at that thing and look at that trauma that was in his life? And I'm sure he thought of it many times. No, we've got to turn and go the other way. For him, no doubt it was asking God to forgive him. But even then, it's still there. And our problem today is we are so absorbed in ourselves, especially with self-pity, that we become dependent and never mature. And by the way, a person who is absorbed in self-pity, who all they want to do is to cling on to whatever it was in their life and not look forward, you can't help. You can't help. We've got to be in this spot where we recognize we have this thing called PTS, post-traumatic stress. It's very real. The psychological world has finally come to a realization that it's not a disorder. It's not something you treat by pumping drugs down the individual. It's not something that you take the person and have them tell it to you over and over and over. They're recognizing that you manage it by looking forward. They've recognized, especially in the military, that it's not the psychologists and psychiatrists that can help them. It's the chaplains. Because you and I, we're the people who know about the soul. You and I are the ones who recognize that there is that emotional background within each and every individual that only God can really bring healing to. And it's through Him that we can get the greatest of victories. Amen? It is through Him. It's an understanding that whatever it is, it's there. It's a part of us. It ought to make us stronger if we let it. That's what adversity does. If we decide to use it to take us forward. But if all we want to do is look in the mirror and cry and look at the problem, we'll never go anywhere. We'll be in a forever state that leads to nothing. And that be the case far too often with folks. There is help through the Lord Jesus Christ. I go back to verse 10. Paul says that I may know him and the fellowship of his resurrection. The power, of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain of the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Notice the next few words. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. Can we use the word mature? Help us understand that word. Be thus minded. That's the kind of mind we must have for that perfection, that maturity to take place, that ability to go forward, even though we have some kind of baggage in the past. It was there. It happened. God uses that somehow, not to stop us, but to propel us forward, to make us into better individuals. When I read the story of Job, when it all gets done, God says to his three friends, you better go to Job and ask him to pray for you. And then we read where God gave back to Job everything plus some children and some grandchildren and some great-grandchildren. Did he have a horrible event in his life? Oh, yeah. Was it compounded by some friends who were trying to counsel him and tell him how bad he was? Oh, yeah. But God gave him victory by taking him forward. And you know how God did it? God says, Job, quit looking at that. I want you to look to me. He said, I want you to look at what I have done. I want you to look at my creation. I want you to look at Behemoth, if you please. I want you to look at these magnificent creatures. I want you to look around and see my handiwork and know who I am. And God bless Job. What a magnificent book. Father, tonight, work in our hearts. Help us understand, Lord, some very important truth. Lord, I really doubt if in this room, other than perhaps a few very young ones, anybody who has not experienced some sort of trauma, some event in their life that they really wish didn't happen, something that perhaps at different times they stop and think about, kind of a flashback. Lord, help us to understand. You didn't allow those things to stop us. You want us to go forward from there, allowing those things to somehow strengthen us, to give us greater resolve, somehow to give us greater hope, even greater ability. I pray that you might work in our hearts and lives. Bless as we go from here tonight, oh God. Help us to see victory in Jesus. And Lord, as we close tonight, and perhaps there's a need tonight of someone, I just pray that you might deal with their soul, and they might go from here with victory. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand where you're at as the piano plays tonight.